Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the series we're calling Game Plan Your Next Job. And once you get that job, it's really important, the moves that you make in your first 30, 60, 90 days. And sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes that turns out to be 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 9 weeks. But the point being, there's going to be some definite things you need to do to set up to be successful in your new program as the head football coach. And joining me on the podcast today is a guy who I've seen handle his new situations very well. And he's made an impact wherever he has been almost immediately. So in talking to him and getting to know him, a friend of mine and also a friend of our podcast now, he's been on a few times, the head football coach at Olentangy near Columbus, Ohio, Mark Solis. Mark, always good to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Keith.
So Mark, you have over the years go into a number of programs, and I think in a number of different types of settings, demographics of the school, etc. But what I've seen from you, wherever you've been, is that you have made an impact right away on that program. So I'd like to pick your brain a little bit on how do you do that after getting the job?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I've been in a couple different settings. You know, when you go into it, there's a lot of homework, I think, that I've done as I've looked at those job opportunities. It wasn't like I rolled out of bed one day and all of a sudden I was the head coach at those institutions and those buildings, but there's a lot of legwork done before you even take the job, because you got to figure out if it's a good job to begin with. I mean, you know, ultimately as coaches, we're all competitors. We want to win. And so you got to make sure that all the pieces and parts that really I think are necessary and really are required to be successful at those buildings or in those school districts, that they're in place. And so you kind of do your homework there, but once you get the job, I think it's extremely important that first meeting, okay, that first meeting that you have with those kids, you know, they're clamoring, they're very excited to see who their new leader is going to be. And I think it's just like teaching the first week in school. I mean, what you do that first meeting, and likewise as a teacher, the beginning of the school year, what you do the first couple of days of the class is really going to set the tone for your program. And you basically just spell it out to the kids that, you know, you want to keep it simple. Hey, listen, these are the things that we are going to stand for. This is kind of going to be the culture of our program. These are going to be the expectations in terms of what we expect you to do in the classroom, in the weight room, on the field and off the field in the community. And I think once you set that tone, that kind of gets you going forward. Secondly is going into it, really having an idea staff-wise who you're going to surround yourself with in terms of your assistant coaches. And that's critical in terms of, you know, making sure that you got guys around you, because, you know, it isn't like college football where I can bring a bunch of guys into a program. In many instances, you know, there's guys in the building already teaching in those buildings that you want to maybe stay, you know, keep them on board. You maybe want to recruit them out of the classroom, so to speak, to be an assistant coach in your program. And you got to make sure that they're a good fit. You got to make sure that they're going to embrace kind of your vision. They become an extension of me, so to speak, and that we're all going to speak the same language in terms of what we're going to expect for our program. So those are the things initially, I mean, really right at the outset, I think are critical in terms of setting the tone and moving forward with your program.
I couldn't agree with you more that first meeting is very important with the kids, and thinking back to a number of places I've been and understanding the challenges going into them. And I agree with you about doing your homework. It's actually something we've talked about on the last three podcasts when we were talking about some things as simple as the cover letter. But understanding where you're going is important. And, you know, with the programs I took, I felt there was that support that I could feel comfortable in saying, hey, you know, I'd really like the opportunity to get in front of as many kids as I can. Is there a time during the school day where I can come there and talk to the kids? I don't need a lot of time. And I felt that was so much better than taking the chance that doing it after school, that maybe you would miss some kids because whatever, they had other activities They needed to get home that day, whatever it might have been. I always found doing it during the school day was the best. And honestly, if you're at a place and you've done your homework and you have the support you're going to need, that principal is more than willing to let those guys come in and sit down with you for, you know, 20, 30 minutes and hear about what you have to say and your vision for the program.
No, absolutely. And because that really gives you the ability to set the tone. I know most recently, and I've just finished up my sixth season here at Olentangy, but I distinctly remember the day I met the kids. It was on June the 12th in 2013. I remember the date, and they had heard about me. You know, Olentangy is a suburb of the city of Columbus, and I was coming from Cleveland, and so kids really didn't know or hear much, you know, about me. You know, they might have Googled and did some those kind of things, but they were really anxious, and it was kind of neat to come in there and be introduced by the athletic director and the principal. And they were very attentive. And, you know, those are things that really stick with you. But the same things, frankly, that I told those kids in June of 2013 are the same exact things that we preached our kids today. And so our kids understand really what our program is about. Just finished our fifth year in a row in the playoffs. And that was after losing 35 players to a new high school. And so I feel good about what our program is, both on the field and off the field.
Yeah, definitely. I think also, and just thinking of setting up that initial meeting, if you do have it during the school day, and I've had this at some schools, I've also, in some places, I might have already had that kind of transition set up for me, had an email address or whatever, but in others, you know, relied on the principal to send a message along to the teachers, because, you know, ultimately you're interrupting somebody's class and you don't want to set that tone right away and appear that you think, you know, what you're doing is more important than what they're doing, because I'm sure that's not unheard of. But sending each of, whether it's through the principal or AD or whoever it might be, sending a note thanking them for allowing you the time to talk to those students and essentially giving a hint of or a note in that, you know, you're going to support their efforts in the classroom as well. And I think that goes a long way in making a first impression with the teaching staff.
Absolutely. And that true collaboration and that working with your, what are going to be your future colleagues and peers, it's crucial that you have that good positive relationship to kick off right out from the get-go, and that, frankly, get it communicated clearly that you do have an open door of communication with those teachers. I want my teachers, our teachers, I should say, of our players, I want them to understand. I want you to feel comfortable coming to me, and don't just come to me to tell me the bad things. Tell me some of the good things too. And I think that's critical. And you know, you make them feel a little bit part of the program, because, you know, they're a stakeholder in this whole process and what we're trying to do, you know, to develop these young men, you know, as football players.
Definitely. And then the next area, Mark, that you talked about here in the introduction was getting the right guys on your coaching staff. And I've been a number of different places. It presents some challenging opportunities. You know, you go back maybe 15 years or so, in a lot of places, you could bring along a staff and they'd make some spots for you in the school and teaching staff or whatever. More and more today, because of everybody tightening their belts on budgets and everything, it's a little bit harder to do. And sometimes you inherit a staff. Sometimes you might be able to bring along two or three lay people, non-teachers. But ultimately, you are going to have to sift through. Here's the guys who were in place. Here's some guys I'd like to bring in and figure out that mix and the right chemistry. What are some things you've been able to do that you've found successful to really wade through that whole process and figure it out?
First and foremost, I leaned on the athletic director because I felt like he or she had a pretty good idea of, on the existing or previous staff, I should say, you know, who really wanted to come back on or really, you know, they were interested in still coaching. So I leaned on that. I think that's crucial that you lean on your AD a lot, okay, because they really do understand the lay of the land, so to speak, in that building and with those coaches. And so my first immediate thing has always been to interview those prospective coaches that have a desire. And listen, I mean, you know, you do your homework too. You got to be careful because some instances, maybe one of those individuals went for the head coaching job. They wanted the job. So you got to be careful there, because sometimes that can come back to bite you. They interviewed things, they didn't get the job, and you got to make sure that they're going to be loyal and, you know, really bought into what you want to do. But, you know, I've always interviewed those individuals first. I've always had at least two or three guys I've always wanted to bring with me. And that necessarily hasn't always been guys that have to teach in the building. They can be guys that, you know, have other jobs. But I've always felt that to be important to me, to our program, to bring some guys in that really understand what I really need to see within our program. And, you know, you blend it together and you know, along the way, you know, there's changes. You know, there's been guys that have come and gone in terms of coaches at Olentangy, and nothing bad or anything like that, just some other opportunities opened up for them, and they went elsewhere. And Rick Ciccone, for example, he's now an assistant, full-time assistant coach at the University of Toledo. At one time, he coached our wide receivers and, you know, left in the middle of July. And I understood why. It was a better opportunity for him. So I think that experience helps, obviously, doing it for as long as I have. But at the end of the day, you got to make sure that you're putting good people around kids, that they are there in the true vested interest of growing and developing young people. And if they have any other agenda other than that, then you have to understand that they can't be part of what you're doing. And truly, more than ever, we need more of those people, you know, to really model and lead the young people that we have today. Because in some instances, a lot of times, we spend more time with the kids than their own parents do. And so, you know, I want to make sure that I'm surrounding myself with good people.
Well, Coach, we make that introduction to the kids, which is so important. We start to develop our staff, or at least pick our staff who we're going to move forward with. What are some next steps for you? What are you looking at next in terms of, okay, this is what we have to do after we have those initial things done?
Well, my next thing is really evaluating and assessing what I call the football infrastructure. And what I mean by that, you look at your facilities, when you look at equipment, I think it's extremely important to do a very thorough initial assessment of what you have, which then will drive what you need. I know there's been places that I've gone into and there's things that they don't have. It blows my mind. And I'm like, listen, we're going to need these things. And so right from there, you foster an immediate relationship with your booster club. Here at Olentangy, we have an organization that's called the Friends of Football, and their mission statement's clear. It is to embrace and support the vision of what I'm trying to develop within our program, and they are to provide as best as possible the resources available in a reasonable way that at the end of the day is going to help our football program and, more importantly, lead to player, individual, and unit and team development. And I think that's critical, that you really do a great job of assessing that infrastructure, everything from shoulder pads to helmets to have things been reconditioned. What is the quality of your uniforms? When are you going to need uniforms? Looking at sleds, do you need new pads in your sled? Do you need a sled in general? What is your video equipment like? Do you need a new camera? I mean, I could go on and on, and I've been in situations where we didn't have anything. Other situations, we had about half the thing, and there's been other places that we just needed a few things to finish the deal. But I think that is critical in your next step. And you know, it's like a growing population or a growing community. If the growing population requires a two-lane road on both sides of the road, you got to do it, right? Because if not, you're going to have a lot of problems and congestion, and people aren't going to get where they need to. And it's the same way with your football program. I mean, I think there are certain things that are critical that have to be in place so you have a chance to be successful.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. You really need to take it upon yourself to do that inventory, to see things firsthand. I know in a lot of those situations, old coach going out, the AD has maybe had the assistants who were there organize things and make sure everything was, you know, sent out, et cetera. But I really believe you're taking a lot for granted if you don't dig in and take a look at what do we have for our uniforms, our shoulder pads, like you said, our sleds, our video equipment. You have to take a detailed inventory of where you're at to understand what your needs are going to be. And then that relationships with the boosters is very important. And I would suggest it's actually something that didn't come up over the last three discussions as far as questions when you get to ask in the interview process, what's that like? I think spending some time understanding the relationship with the booster club and understanding things that they've done, maybe even asking specifically what things have they funded here at this school in the past would be important. I think back to I took over the job. You were across the county, I think, but when I took over the job at Amherst Steel, you know, we had a great booster club. But when I look at the things that they were putting their money towards, they were things that essentially a big portion of the budget, at least, which I felt was kind of perishable. They were taking great care of the kids in the program, but a lot of those things were in meals. A lot were T-shirts that given to the kids and gear like that, all great things. But we had to kind of reprioritize and say, okay, we like all this stuff. But you know what? I need some flat screens in the locker room. I need some, at that time, DVD players to be, for each of my coaches. We want to redo this part of our locker room. So understanding where you need to be and being able to go and sit down with them and together come up with a plan for the future, because I think that's the biggest thing. You got to work with that group. You don't want to come in and have the wrong impression that you're there to take over everything, but that you're there to work with them, and that the ultimate benefit, though, is still for the kids. So while, you know, the challenge for me was refocusing what they felt they were doing the right way and kind of scaling some back so we had more in other areas. So very important. Understand that in the interview process. Don't be afraid to ask questions about it. But then after you've inventoried everything, and go in and present your needs.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the high school level, we don't have operations people or a director of operations that can handle those off-the-field things. I mean, that's just part of our job description. So you have to go in and assess that. And, you know, the other thing is to also understand, like, you know, the other thing is don't be afraid to ask exactly, hey, what is my football budget from the athletic department? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I get? How often are we switching jerseys? These are things that are critical so that you can really have a master plan, so to speak, of attack when it comes to outfitting your program with those things that they need. Like, as you said, back in the day, DVD players, of course, you know, we've all graduated now to everything. Now we're looking at iPad, laptop computers. We had to switch everything, you know, back in the old days from VHS, everything digital now. What are we doing in the weight room? That's been the big thing, too, is I probably have felt like when it comes to prioritizing what's really important, it's been the weight room first. And at our place now, I will put our weight room up against anybody in the state of Ohio for a high school weight room. I mean, we just put in about $55,000 worth of new flooring, and it is a state-of-the-art facility. And it's taken 5-6 years to get there. You have to also understand, too, like, make sure you understand the protocols and procedures when it comes to getting items, too. You don't want to ever, like, do something and then ask for forgiveness later. That's right. Not a good thing to get into. So make sure you understand the protocols and procedures when it comes to purchasing items. And if it's through the school, making sure that a purchase order is squared away first, because in this day and age where every penny is counted and you got to be accountable, you don't want to ever have to be in a situation where you're going to have to explain yourself to somebody. Day and age, you just can't afford to do that. So make sure that you understand, you know, I understand what my needs are, but what are the procedures and protocols to get the things that we need?
Yeah, very important. And looking at things like your Huddle subscription, for example, mm-hmm. I know that that varies, you know, and today it's certainly not maybe as much of your budget as it used to be, but understanding how much capacity you have there, because, you know, someone like you, Mark, or me probably want to go in and make sure that we have enough room to store our practices, to store our opponent game film, that we're going to be very detailed about how we put that into our system, where at other programs, coaches don't care about that as much. You don't have the right package there. That's something you want to address, you know, right now in the budget, rather than getting to week one and saying, oh, geez, we don't have the right stuff here. So again, be detailed in all the things you're looking at. Take nothing for granted. Be detailed with a checklist, and we'll share some ideas as far as that on our blog here in our show notes as what you can do and all the things that you're going to want to look at. So we've made that connection with the boosters. We've assessed the needs there. We've got at least an initial plan going forward on some of the things we're going to attack. What are we looking at doing next, Coach?
Starting to structure what your weight room program off season wise is going to look like. Obviously, a lot of that depends on when you're hired into the position. But, you know, really, I've always had a template, so to speak, when it comes to, like, I have a football calendar that I pretty much have followed for the better part of for the last 10, 15 years. And that really is the driving force of how we go about doing things. And so, you know, once that staff is assembled, start to get into, you know, how are we going to want to break things down when it comes to the off-season work we want to do. Okay, hey, listen, starting in June, this is when we get our 10 contact days. When do we want to start? How do we want to structure those? These are the dates I'm thinking. These are the times. And then once those are set up, that kind of sets up your install calendar for your offense and defensive installs. And then understanding then also your individual players. I've always felt it's extremely important to meet individually with all your players in the off season. And, you know, you do a quick, hey, assessment of, hey, this is where you're at in your development as a player. This is where you need to be. And these are the things I think you need to do. And then in the same token, also let the player grade himself. And you get a good snapshot and you kind of let that player build some ownership into themselves. But I think also it's very critical that you have that initial meeting with the players, that you do, you know, have a meeting. You got to have a meeting with the parents in the community. I think that's important to give them an idea, and you have an opportunity to set the vision for what your program, what you plan on it standing for and being, both on the field and off the field. And so organizing a community night type of thing where maybe you bring in some pizzas and those kind of things and really make it a true, you know, kickoff of your program. And so I think those are the things that are next critical in building and the foundation for your program.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's so important to make sure, and you've been describing really at this point, you're making sure you touch base with all the stakeholders in your program. You know, we've already mentioned the teaching staff. We've mentioned the boosters, you know, now getting into parents, community. Yeah, I think back to, you know, it's probably my last high school head coaching job. So it's been a while back. At the time, there wasn't huddle in place. So I guess that's really dating myself. But thinking back to that meeting I had with the parents and the community and inviting them in, it was the same type of thing. You know, have some incentive, put some pizza there on the table, get them in the door.
Everybody likes pizza.
Yeah. I had a video highlight ready for them of, you know, what is our offense going to look like? What's our defense going to look like? Kind of things just hitting on, you know, throughout that video, what do we believe in our program and all those things. And at that time, because, you know, wasn't very digital back then, I make copies of it for them to take away too, and, you know, be able to take a look at and sit down and really, you know, what's going on here? What's this program going to be about? And today, you can use social media to do that. I know you have your own social media crew there, manned by students, but I think that's something to look at is, you know, little things along the way, get your social media going, start to share those things about your program so that the people who don't show up at the meetings have that opportunity to understand the direction and where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the key is just getting the word out, you know, communicating clearly what that program, what this program is going to stand for. And you know, moving forward, we need everybody to embrace what we're doing and buy in, and we're going to get this thing going.
So, Coach, kind of rounding out, I guess, some of the last steps you need to take here in this initial, you know, whatever it might be, let's call it 90 days, you know, that initial period, as you're setting everything up, what are some of the other things that you need to make sure you take care of?
Well, once again, I think it's at that point, you know, you're getting into 2 or 3 months into taking over the program. I think you got your feet kind of in place. I think it's at that moment, you know, you're getting your staff together and you really want to start building those relationships with the players, really getting them to understand that you genuinely care about their development in the weight room. And, you know, a lot of times when you're making that transition, and I've made that transition in the off season where I was teaching at one school and I had to travel for the weight room. Mm-hmm. And that's important because, and in some instances, it was an hour drive one way to get to the weight room.
Yeah.
But you have to do it, and you got to make that commitment, and you got to show the players and the community that you're bought in and that you're all in to what we need to do with this program. And so making sure that you are being consistent as well. I think that's so important. I think so many people lose sight of the importance of consistency. I think sometimes guys just do things because they think it's the flavor of the month. It's a new thing they saw on Twitter or whatever. Like, just do what you do and trust your process. I mean, if it's worked at 2 or 3 places, it's probably going to work at the fourth place. And for me, I've been the head coach at 5 places. And, you know, I mean, I've changed a little bit here and there as a coach in terms of how we do things, but really the base foundations and fundamentals have not changed since 1999 for me. And don't compromise what you truly believe in. You know, it's funny, I had a friend of mine text me this week. It's his first time coaching in a state championship game this week. And, you know, I was very humbled to get a text from him when he asked me, Coach, what advice do you have for me? You've coached a lot of big games. What's your advice? I said, it's simple. Like, you know, do what you do. Do what you've always done. Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers and tackle well. You do those things, you have a pretty good chance of winning the game. And so my point is that just be true to who you are. Make sure you also understand the landscape, though, of the community you're going into, and be able to adapt, be able to adjust things as they call for. And I think if you have that ability, that humility about yourself, but still stay true to who you are, roll your sleeves up, get to work, be clear with your vision, be clear with your communication style to everybody involved, players, coaches, community, administration, boosters, everybody, I think that your chances of being successful are going to be pretty good.
Coach, I appreciate you sharing all those ideas and having you come back on the podcast again and join us. I'm looking forward to talking ball again with you in the future, because I know you're one of those guys who is going to go out all over the country. You're going to be speaking, but you're also going to be listening to coaches out there, and you're always getting new ideas. So I appreciate you sharing everything here on getting started on your new job, and best of luck to you and your team in 2019.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great day, Keith. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.